He was monitoring the situation.
So I knew it was gonna come.
Good afternoon. We'll call the, call the council back into session. We're here this afternoon for one public hearing. Just in case you're not familiar with how we conduct our hearings, very similar to the planning zoning. But I will have Mr. Griffin, our attorney, tell you how we will conduct the hearing, then he'll start with that hearing. Mr. Griffin.
Good afternoon. When council conducts public hearings on zoning matters, they're legislative hearings. Council uses the information obtained during the hearing to decide whether or not to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. After the application is called, Mr. Lank, who's the Director of Planning and Zoning, will come to the podium and tell us what happened at the planning and zoning meeting. After that, and any questions that county council may have of Mr. Lank, we will then recognize the applicant to let them present their case. After the applicant has presented their case, if there's anyone else here who wishes to speak either in favor of or in opposition to the application, will also be recognized. If you wish to speak, when you need to come down front and state your name and briefly your address before you make your statement. That's so that we can determine on the record later, if the record has to be typed up, who was making what statement. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off or turn it to silent service. And does anyone have any questions about the procedure we'll follow? If you're part of a group who is not represented by an attorney or a spokesperson, if you have a spokesperson who wishes to make a statement for a group of people, that's permissible also. We don't have to hear the very same thing from 20 different people, for instance, if one person can represent that they're speaking for all of you. Mr. Lank?
Thank you. The application before us this evening or this afternoon is conditional use number 1675. The application of Colonial East Limited to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for expansion of an existing manufactured home community, proposing 82 additional lots, and to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 20.79 acres, more or less, lying northeast of Minas Conaway Road, also known as Road 265, and 1,100 feet north of Route 9. For the benefit of the commission or the council, I've passed down copies of ordinance number 1187, which was the conditional use ordinance, case number 1198 for Colonial East Limited, which was approved by council on the 21st day of October in 1997, just for to be able to show them what the conditions of approval were for that application. The Planning and Zoning Commission heard the public hearing on January 11th. There were four members participating. Mr. Wheatley did not participate in the public hearing. The commission was provided with the copies of the PLUS report, copy of the same ordinance I just referenced. There was a letter received in opposition from David and Suzanne Shavak, which is noted in the record of the report before the council. Steve Class was present on behalf of Colonial East Limited with Heidi Balliette, an attorney, and Brian Pinkerton and Kevin Burdett of McCrone Incorporated, all giving presentations. Ms. Balliette also submitted a letter of support from the Sussex Communities Association President Gene Stort. There were no other parties present in support. Wayne Baker and Debbie Parkelow were present in opposition and gave testimony. The commission, at the conclusion of the public hearings, Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission deny conditional use 1675 for Colonial East Limited based upon a record and for the following reasons. In 1997, the council specifically found in ordinance number 1187 that the allowable number of units on this property could not exceed 108. council decision was based upon many concerns that were expressed during the hearing process, including the character of the residential lots adjacent to the project. Council made that specific finding. Mr. Johnson did not feel that it would be appropriate to recommend a change in the number of units or density on this parcel of land. That was a motion. The motion did die for lack of a second. The commission then, by vote 4-0, did defer action for further consideration. And they have not met again to make a decision or render a decision on this application. For the benefit of the record, I have received two additional comments from agencies. First one being a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District, dated January 12 of 2007. And we are advised that this soil types are mapped to be Downer loamy sand and Greenwich loam. That the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation after completion of construction. That no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches are affected. That it may not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. That to that memorandum was a copy of an aerial infrared showing the site and surrounding area. Also a copy of a soil survey for the area. They also attached some map information on the aerial infrareds. And they also provided us information that the downer soils for septic purposes, dwellings and dwellings with basements do not have any limitations. That the Greenwich soils are very limited and on the septic with a restricted permeability, and that the dwelling with a basement is not limited. And they say that both areas are prime farmland type soils, or both soil types are prime land, farmland type soils. Lastly, today I received a report from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, signed by Rob Davis. Makes reference to the application, the number of units, the site location, that the soil capacity for the site is at 4 units to the acre, that the project is located in the West Rehoboth expansion area. They state that wastewater capacity is not available because the site was previously approved for 108 lots. That ordinance number 38 construction would be required, that the current system connection charge rate is $3,911 per EDU. That the mainline sewer must be extended to serve the proposed project. They make no response to whether the project is capable of being annexed into the sanitary sewer district. States conformity to the North Coastal Area Planning Study and the Graves Property Technical Memorandum or undertaking an amendment will be required. That upgrades to downstream sewer and pump station number 207 is necessary to provide adequate capacity in accordance with the attached letter dated April 26, 2006 from John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning, and the pump station number 207 is currently running at capacity. That further evaluations and design at the developer's expense is required to determine what upgrades are required to serve the project. The developers to the Graves property and or the vineyards may undertake the upgrades. There may be an opportunity for the developer of Sussex West to participate in those upgrades. The schedule for completion of upgrades is not known at this time. The proposed development addition will require a developer installed collection system in accordance with the county standard requirements and procedures. The county engineer must approve the connection point. County Engineering Department requires that the sewer conceptual plan be submitted for review and approval, and that a concept plan is required. And then the letter referenced as April 26 of 06 is attached, and the council members all have copies. That's all I have, gentlemen. Oh, I do understand there's been some letters received in support of the application since the commission's public hearing. I don't have any copies.
I had a question. The letter from Mr. Ashman, where he's talking about the fact that the county's allocated 111 EDUs for this parcel, is he talking about the 20 acres involved in the application today or the entire 102 acre?
I'd have to refer that to Mr. Ashman. I'm not sure. I just got this letter today myself. Okay. I haven't had a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was talking about just this or the whole parcel. Anybody else have any questions?
Was this originally part of the original ordinance 1187? This
yes,
piece
it was.
Of ground?
Yes, it was.
And so that when it says here, it refers to 55 acres? That was the total?
And 55 acres was the application of in 97. Oh, it was an L shape. It included the rec area and where the manor house
and it
is.
It included this ground that we're talking about today.
Right.
Okay.
When they came in with their site plan and for development of the project, they moved the lots to the front.
Right. Which we didn't care where they put them.
No.
Right. Okay. I got you. Okay.
Any other questions of Mr. Lang?
Yeah. Robin says he has letters down there in support.
Let's see. I didn't realize. I thought that everyone had those. Shall I pass them down to you, or you want me to refer to them?
Was there copies for all of us?
No.
Are you going to make copies?
There's one stack. Let me count them.
How many do you think they're in? Yeah. You want to just reference them all and who they are, where they come from?
Read the names of all of them, if they're all in support or opposition, either one.
And why they're in support?
There are 17, appear to be 17 total. One is an email, 16 appear to be letters. They are signed by individuals. I'll just read the names. Anna DiLapo says that her mother resides there. Mr. Class has allowed the community to use the manor house for community services. I have no objection. The couple by the name of LeBrand says that they are writing in support. They have resided in Sussex West since 2002. Talk about the safety of the neighborhood. Next, Margaret Kelly, to the same effect. She is a resident there for 18 months. Shirley Scheid has resided there since 2003 and is in support. Virginia Kaiser, 5-year resident, is in support. Dorothy Alexander writes on behalf of she and her husband. They are two happy retirees. It says it's a quiet community. They are in support. This one's kind of hard to read, but it's Ethel Burke, who is a resident and is in support. An email from Donna Windrow saying her sister and her sister's husband purchased a home. She's been a visitor there, says it's a very nice community and is in support.
So a visitor's even in support.
Mm-hmm. She lives in Connecticut. Marcia Belmont, a resident in support. Sussex Communities Association writes in support, says the board wishes to express its approval of the proposed expansion. We welcome all new residents to our association. Albert Joseph, a resident, is in support. All of these letters are saying that it's safe, it's well-maintained, et cetera. Next letter, Larry and Louise Griffin from Plainfield, New Jersey, says that they are in support. They are semi-retired. Looks like Robert Asmussen is a resident and is in support. Susan Schulman is a resident and is in support. They're basically saying it's safe, it provides affordable housing, amenities, et cetera. Barbara and James, looks like McGeagle, not sure about the spelling there. Residents who are in support. Another email from Thelma Gwynn. Says that they're in support, does not say, says they've been waiting a long time for this section to be completed, but doesn't say if they live there. James, John, and Carol Bismarck resided there since 2003, and they are in support. I'll pass those down to Mr. Lank so he can enter them in the...
Are there any letters of support from outside the community? Is it just a question? I mean, everybody seemed to be resident. Did you see any?
The one from Connecticut who's...
Well, I mean, other than, yeah.
I mean, the association to which the people who live in this new section would belong wrote in support. Any further questions before we recognize the applicant?
Good afternoon. I think that first letter was from a lady from outside the community, from Brittany Acres.
That's right. Anna DiLapo. She lives across the minus Conaway Road.
But her mother lives at Sussex West.
Right. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
As you're all aware, my name is Heidi Ballygat. I'm with the law firm of Tunnel and Razor, and I'm here to represent the applicant on conditional use 1675, Colonial East LTD, and Steve Klass is here with me today, seated to my right. We also have the engineers with McCrone, Brian Pinkerton, will be presenting with me. The 20.8-acre parcel for which we're requesting an amended conditional use is zoned AR1, and it's located on the northeast side of Minos Conaway Road and also along Route 9. The property was originally approved for the conditional use in 1985, and it was subsequently amended in 1997. My client proposes to extend the conditional use for the property for the manufactured home park, which he currently operates. This is an appropriate type of conditional use as per the Sussex County Ordinance, and as required by the code, the applicant has addressed all the items set forth in Section 115-72G relating to mobile home park conditional uses, which I'll set forth, and there's actually 12 items, which I'll summarize. Access to this site is from a public highway known as Minos Conaway Road, and there's no manufactured home which will have direct access from that road to the home site. Access will be from the interior road in the community to their interior driveway. All interior roads will be hard surfaced and maintained along with the current road in accordance with the county specifications. Number two, the topography of the site will facilitate proper drainage. Number three, the size of the parcel is in excess of 13 acres, and that satisfies the third requirement of the code. Number four, the minimum size area for each manufactured home is proposed to range in size from approximately 6,000 square feet to 15,000 square feet, and the minimum under the code is 5,000, so we've met that requirement. Number five, the community has a recreational area available to the park residents. The recreational area is member restricted. There is a clubhouse on the current site, which is used by Sussex East and Sussex West, including this parcel. The current community works with organizations that can also use those services. They currently have the Bookmobile, Cheer, Paraservices, the Tunnel Cancer Center, all using this site. They also allow various groups to use the clubhouse, such as their Community Homeowner Association, as well as other local homeowners associations who might not have their own clubhouse. Other charitable organizations, community groups, even the Red Hat Society and other public and private agencies have used it. Number six, the park has a vegetative buffer surrounding the boundary lines of the property, which remain free of buildings and streets. Number seven, the proper setbacks between the buildings have been followed and they'll continue to be complied with. Number eight, there is an interior driveway access to each home erected on the site, which will provide the proper number of parking spaces. We should also note that there are no retail sales or services or other type buildings that are requested with this application. Number nine, the property is serviced by Central Water and Sewer Service. there are proper electrical connections and fire protection throughout the community. Number 10, there's proper trash collection within the community. And number 11, the community is a manufactured housing community, and it permits multi-sectional housing that's not single width. So some people refer to those as mobile homes, but here we refer to those as multi-sectional homes. The community is a restricted community for housing type, as well as being an age-restricted community. It's a 55-plus community. There are also no sheds permitted on any of the lots, but garages are included as a permitted structure when they approve the housing type. The applicant is requesting 82 additional housing sites for this community. These sites are leased only. They're not deed owned. And they are subject to community restrictions in those leases. There are no current violations pending to this community to our knowledge. And as you've heard from the letters in support of, it's a clean and desirable community. And it currently has a demand waiting list for residents who would like to live there. As many of you may be familiar, the applicant has been involved with and has spearheaded many local regulations relating to manufactured housing and leased land. Mr. Klass can also give firsthand knowledge of the demands in Sussex County for this type of housing because it's affordable and it's safe and it's a nice, healthy environment. The applicant will work with DLDOT to minimize the traffic impact in the area, and it has proposed solutions with DLDOT for this growing area, such as installing and relocating bus stops that can support the residents of this particular community as well as those in the surrounding area. The traffic impact to this site will be minimal based on the fact that there's currently two entrances that will serve the community, and they were planned with the type of or the number of units that we are proposing to be added. So those were anticipated when those entrances were designed. The visibility on this section of the roadway is very good. The community is currently monitored with speed signs and radar. There's no speed bumps. The interior streets are 100% maintained by the applicant, not by the association. The proposed use is in accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Development Plan. Since the parcel for which the conditional use is sought is in the environmentally sensitive developing area, it does permit this type of residential use proposed by my client. The residential use proposed is consistent with the general use in the area. The use will not be a risk to the environment since the property has central water and sewer currently to the site, and there would be no other discharges or effluents that could affect any environmentally sensitive area in close proximity. There's no adverse impact on surrounding property values. The client's proposed use is an extension of the current facility and is consistent with other residential uses. The socioeconomic benefit of the applicant's business is that it will provide needed affordable housing to the growing 55-plus population. The applicant's current facility is in acceptance of this extension, and you had the Homeowners Association letter in support of acknowledging that. Since Mr. Klass and his company have demonstrated by its operation of the current facility during the last 20 or more years, it runs a neat and orderly facility, the county should feel assured the extension will be operated in the same manner. As indicated previously, the proposed site is located in an area which has been deemed to be suitable for such use under the comprehensive plan, and it does promote the health, safety, morals, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Sussex County. I will now turn to Mr. Pinkerton so he can address any of the engineering questions that you might have, and then we can field any questions relating to the application. Brian.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Brian Pinkerton. I'm a registered professional engineer in the state of Delaware. I work for McCrone Incorporated out of our Dover office at 111 Southwest Street. I'd like to start off by making an aerial comparison of the site, both in 1997, which you can see on the easel to my right, and 2006 to my left. Main purpose being I like to show the development trend in the area since 1997. As you can see in the 2006 aerial photograph, in proximity to our project site, we've got four developments: Nassau Grove, the Reserves at Lewis Landing, Mills Chase, and Brittany Acres, which are either constructed or under construction, which were not present at the time of the preliminary conditional use approval in 1997. Following that development trend, our client is seeking to expand his original conditional use to include an additional 82 units. So some of the details, Kevin, if you wouldn't mind putting up the site plan. As we've already touched upon, this is a requested conditional use for a mobile home community. Under a mobile home community, the minimum lot size allowed is 5,000 square feet. We've proposed a minimum of approximately 6,500 square feet with an average lot size of approximately 7,000 square feet, which is 40% above the minimum size. The net density for the entire Sussex West community, including the previous 108 acres, should we be approved to build out the additional 82 units, would be 3.44 units per acre, with a net open space of 14 acres plus or minus, which is approximately 25% of the total Sussex West community site acreage. As a side note, under the requirements for a mobile home conditional use, a site of this size would result in a minimum 1.3 acres of open space, and again, our site would result in 14 acres.
Where is that 14 acres on that picture? No, I don't see it there, do I?
The 14 acres includes the stormwater management area to the front, the community area that exists. It does include the vegetated buffers along the frontage, and it does include this lawn slash meadow type area.
Is all of that 14 acres either owned by or leased by the applicant?
It is. Some key engineering features I'd like to touch upon would be, to begin with, the Del Dot entrance onto Minas Conaway Road. The existing entrance, as shown on the site plan, was approved in 1999 for both the 108 units and a proposed future build out of, as it was, 84 units. Today we're proposing 82. I do have a copy of the approved entrance plan that I can submit for the record if the council so wishes. Secondly, I'd like to touch on stormwater management. The existing stormwater management facility located in the lower corner of the site at the intersection of Route 9 and Minas Conaway Road was previously designed by another firm for the anticipated build out of this site. My office has met and confirmed with the Sussex Conservation District that was the case, that the original design did include the full build out, and they have simply asked us to do a review of the as constructed and functioning conditions of the pond to confirm that it does indeed function as it's intended. We are in fact nearly done with that review, and we're confident at this time that the pond does indeed function as intended, and we anticipate that the addition of these 82 proposed units would require only minor tweaks to the existing pump station, those tweaks being adjustments to the floats and trip levels inside the station. Sanitary sewer we've touched on. We're aware that the county currently has allocated 111 EDUs for the site. Sewer is something that we do intend to investigate and resolve with the county engineering department should we be granted preliminary approval. As a side note to that, we do have some water usage data that was given to us by Tidewater Utilities. I would like to touch on the numbers for 2006 for Sussex West. Was based on 111 units, which included the 108 home sites, an irrigation meter, and both the administrative office and the community clubhouse area. The usage records for the fourth quarter of 2006 indicated approximately 100 gallons per day per unit, which is approximately one-third of the normal single-family home EDU. Given the data we have in hand, our preliminary feeling is that sewer will be something that we can resolve with the county, and we look forward to working with them should we receive preliminary approval. I guess that really sums up the main points I'd like to hit.
I got a question for you.
Sure, certainly.
You talked about trends in the area.
Yes.
And you pointed out some things since 1997. Could you point out the densities that these trends have developed at from the county approvals?
I do not have that information available now.
Would Mr. Lank maybe, he's got some names up there like Mill Chase,
But could you rattle off maybe Lawrence?
Mills Chase.
It's relatively new in Brittany Acres. What kind of density we see?
Mills Chase, I believe, was developed at 2 units to the acre.
Brittany.
They're all duplexes. Brittany Acres is 3/4 acre or larger per lot, so it's 1+ per acre.
Across the street there, Reserves.
Reserves is less than 2 units per acre.
And Nassau Grove is the other one to point out.
And Nassau Grove is, that was MRRPC, it's around 4. And then the Nesbitt Station is 2 units to the acre, and the...
Now, have all these been, he talked about trends since 1997, so...
The only one that's, everything on there is new, or in since zoning, except, I believe, for...
Red Mill Farms.
Red Mill Farms, which was recorded just at the start of zoning, and they vary in size. I think they're like 10 or 15,000 square foot lots, so about 3 units to the acre.
The other thing I raise is, as we get new developments have been coming in front of us, we're hearing so much about design and different things, clustering and all these new novel ideas. What's so novel about this? Because it appears to me like it looks like a, as we refer to, the old cookie cutter. So tell me what's so unique about your design here and why it's superior to the old cookie cutters.
Certainly. Well, I will reiterate that compared to a normal subdivision, this is in fact a mobile home community and has been laid out in accordance with the requirements for a mobile home community as a conditional use. What makes it unique, again, is, for example, the minimum lot size, which required is a minimum of 5,000 square feet per lot. We've provided 6,489 square feet, almost 6,500 square feet as the minimum lot size, with the average lot being just over 7,000 square feet, which is, again, 40% above the minimum requirement. Also, again, the open space that we touched on before is approximately 25% of the total site acreage.
Well, you're bringing in the other part, but on this recent design, I mean, because the last one looks more like a cookie cutter also, it just seems it's been not real unique or superior in design, as we've been hoping that a lot of new developments would be. Just seems like some of the old stuff.
Anyone else have any questions of Mr. Pinkerton? I did have one. You made reference to something I had asked Mr. Lank. Of the 111 EDUs that are allocated, is that allocation relate to the entire 73 acres or just to the 20 acres in this application?
I personally can't speak to the intent of that.
Okay. And the other question I had was that I believe you had said that someone had said in 1997 when 108 units were approved, what were the actual, was that the actual number of units that had been applied for at that time, or did county council back in 97 approve less than were applied for, or do you know?
The only thing I can determine is from the order, it says that they were allowed almost double that, and they limited it at that time to 108.
If they were allowed, Heidi, they would have done it without coming in front of the county council. They were not allowed.
They were given 2 units per acre.
I'm only stating what it says. It says in the order, we're trying to infer from what they were saying. It says that they could have, that's
asked
half the
for.
Maximum
they could have
that
asked
could
for.
Be.
Right, they could have asked
so
for
So I don't
something.
Know if they asked, or maybe Mr. Klass can recall.
Do you recall, Mr. Lank, how many was applied for initially?
Not the number they applied for, but when the council approved it was at 2 units.
Okay.
Per acre, basically, based on the land use plan.
And okay. I would have to assume that if all the agencies considered it for approval based on 190, somewhere that number was tossed out there, and it would have to have been when they originally evaluated it. They're not going to evaluate
it. It was a larger number.
Right.
No
okay.
Question.
So that answered the question.
It's implied.
I was staying corrected on what I said about Brittany Acres, too. Those lots are 2 to 3 acres
they're very
per
large.
Lot.
There was I recall, who else was here at that time?
All of us,
right? Fields. Right. The recollection I have was there was a lot of concern in the character of the surrounding lots and how things had been developed, like you were talking about trends. And the trend wasn't to the smaller lots, and I think, or the higher densities. It was to the 2 units to the acre of the agricultural district, and I think that's where the council backed up on the numbers, if I'm not mistaken, on how we came to 2 units to the acre.
It says in here, Mr. Cole, that...
Well, you were here. Do you remember?
Yeah. I
trying to vaguely. That said, the existing park is 3.4, so that's probably where they determined that they could have gotten, I thought I read somewhere 262 or something, a lot more than that. But because of the opposition, we decided to give them 2 units to the acre, which was
AR zoning.
8, yeah.
Well, to clarify, too, since we're discussing it, if you look at the findings on the ordinance number 1187, second paragraph states that the council found that the reduction in the number of units to a maximum of 108 will result in a density which is compatible with the AR of the surrounding area. And then additionally, under number 4, under the specifically found that the project is limited to 108. This is half of what the maximum build-out could be.
Most of what I read from the old file, it looks like there was a concern about the impact at that time, how this was, if all the units had been approved, what would the total impact would have been? So I think that's everything I've, Mr. Cole, just what I was able to discern from it.
I've read the minutes back in 1997 trying to find out if we said that was a maximum you could have for that 52 acres or 50 acres, whatever it was, could they ever come back and ask for the additional? And I can't find that where it says they don't have that opportunity to come back and ask for it.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything prohibitive saying you can't.
I don't know if we can, Dale. I think everybody has the option of making any kind of application they want to change. They could make an application and change it to commercial. I don't think we can put those kind of stipulations on it. What we did is we addressed it at that time with the current information we had, and that's what we came up with. I mean, but we don't do that. We just historically have never said you can't come back.
Well, as a conditional use application, I mean, that's an ordinance that the council has to propose. I mean, legitimately, we could come in and ask for that to be completely removed and ask for a subdivision or some other use of this property.
You change it all the time.
Exactly.
Every week you come in with something new.
Right. It's just this use is what we feel is the best use for this site at the current time.
But we typically, Dale, wouldn't put that wording in there on a conditional use.
Well, what I was looking for, I guess, Mr. Cole, was what we said about phasing. If this was only the first phase and it would come back for a second phase later, and the only thing we said about phasing was number of units per year.
Just talked about the phasing of what they proposed. Right, that's all.
And you could do the same thing with this if you wanted to approve it.
I know the last time, and then, like I said, we had just got on council, that there was a huge turnout from all the subdivisions. And if you look at the minutes from this particular time, it doesn't seem like there is as many. Is it because, you know, what the project has, you know, turned out like it was supposed to be or not supposed to be? Or, you know, because there was a huge turnout of objection the last time.
I would imagine from what I stated into the record that he does run a nice facility and it hasn't created a whole lot of problems. He's tried to be very cooperative with the state agencies, with DLDOT. He's proposed solutions with DLDOT for the area, trying to make it a better area. And, you know, they haven't really been as receptive of his
I think, Mr.
proposals,
Jones,
but
if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't so much the way the park was run. I think everybody's in agreement that it's a nicely run park, safe, and all those other things that those residents alluded to. It was the concern of the residents was that it would open up to other development, would set a precedent for higher and higher densities, which would create more of a traffic problem, which had been growing. And since 1997, you hardly can dispute that the traffic has actually increased in the area. So there's, you know, it was just like we want to be consistent in the area and keep it at lower densities and not to encourage the county to approve higher stuff, and which we haven't done. It seems we've pretty much stayed with that kind of formula for that area.
Well, our proposed density is 3.4, which we feel is consistent with some of the other communities, not immediately adjacent to, but nearby. So.
Can you identify any other the communities you're using as your base for the 3.4?
I think Lawrence had stated even Nassau Grove.
Nassau Grove, the MR, RPC.
Mm-hmm. Is that approved since 97?
Yeah, it's just under construction now.
Okay, right. That's on Halsey Knapp's land.
Sussex East.
Okay,
but does it use which road does it use? It comes.
It accesses off of Minus Conaway Road.
It does.
Right. It couldn't get access to Route 1.
That's where we proposed
Well, the point of focus in comparison to what you did in 97, what you said then was council found that a reduction in the number of units to a maximum of 108 will result in a density which is compatible with the AR1 agricultural residential zoning of the surrounding area. So I suppose what you need to focus on this time is whether the surrounding area has become more dense, and therefore you're still compatible if you approve more units. If the surrounding density has not substantially increased, then you know you need to find some basis for adopting a different rationale.
One subdivision is now greater. Most of the others are still consistent.
Any other questions of Ms. Balliet or Mr. Pinkerton? Do you all have any other witnesses you wanted to call? Okay. We'll open it up. If you're finished, we can open it up.
I just wanted Mr. Class just to affirm our statements on the record on your behalf. If you would please affirm those. Do you affirm the statements or to the best of your knowledge?
My name is Steve Class, reside Georgetown, Delaware. I affirm the statements presented by Ms. Balliet and the representatives from McCrone Incorporated. Thank you.
And Mr. Class, while you're there, with the engineering's comments about it seems a lot of this stuff could be expensive and requiring studies on your part. Have you done anything yet to address any of these concerns of the engineering department?
Mr. Call, we received them this morning.
Oh, okay. All right. That answers that question.
We'll look at it.
Yeah, no, it seems...
Mr. Class, in 1997, how many did you actually apply for?
Mr. Griffin, I don't recall, but it was approximately double what we received.
Okay.
And if you want me to expound upon it, I can. But the intent was from the neighbors and from the council that pretty much everybody wanted us to prove ourselves that we would deliver what we promised. And that's why we agreed to the minimum of 108 sites. Economically, as a business standpoint, for a land-lease community, it takes us minimum 10 years to recover our cost to develop those sites. And for a business standpoint, we would have never, actually agreed to 108 sites over 50-some acres. It doesn't make economic sense.
What would you have done if you didn't agree?
Pardon me?
You said you agreed to the 108. What would you have done if you didn't agree?
We would have developed it differently.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Economics, let's face it.
But I mean, what are the other options? Residential?
At that time or now?
Yeah, right.
Pardon me?
Well, at that time, there wasn't many other options other than residential development there.
Correct.
Right. You could either put stick-built homes or your mobile.
Yes, sir.
Still at the same density,
or
pretty
farmer.
Much. Right.
Yeah.
Or farmer, okay. Okay, it sounded interesting the way you said.
Well, if you agree. That land lease, the amount of investment.
It wasn't so much, I don't think you did agree. That was a council decision that you accepted it, basically. Wouldn't you say? That's more. Isn't that the more it worked?
Mr. Class.
Yes, sir. Mr. Dukes.
I've got in receipt of a letter that you wrote to Councilman Rogers back in June of 06, and you said you were somewhat confused. Well, I'm also confused on your asking, saying that we were told that even though we are only using 22% of the planned usage of our parcel, the pumping station is at capacity. Now, I know that you're not an engineer, and that if this 82 additional units are granted, you would only be 38% of capacity, of the current planned capacity. And the question was raised, what would happen if your residents started using more water per day or wastewater per day going into the pump station? What would the county do about it? I mean, if we're at capacity and you're only using 22%, my question should be directed to our engineering department.
Yes.
But
one of the things that helps us, Mr. Dukes, is it's a over 55 community, so you don't have a household full of children and full of a lot of extended family. It is restricted to.
Somewhere I think I read that they're average. Do you have meters?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
So you know the exact what you're using. I think I read somewhere we're only using like 6 to 65 gallons per day average.
Until the fourth quarter results came in, that's what it was. And I think recently, earlier today, that it was approximately 90 to 100 gallons per day is more accurate. But that includes our irrigation for our landscaping and our clubhouse and our administrative office. So it's difficult to get Tidewater to pull those three out. We wanted a baseline number to begin with. We definitely feel that we're only using approximately one-third of the equivalent dwelling gallonage that the county engineer's office, not being a professional, but at 300 gallons per day right now. You got to remember that most of our households are approximately 1.8 people per home, okay? And we have a federal restriction where we tell the federal government that we're an age-restricted community. It's 55 plus. And what that requires is that at least 80% of the households must have one person that's 55 years of age or older. It doesn't restrict them if they pass on, that the children inherit, that they couldn't use the home, as long as we're in that 80-20 rule. So, but and our the people there, they water their grass. They're very proud of the area that they have. They don't want to maintain anymore what they have currently. And they're going to monitor fixed income people. They're not going to go crazy of using too much water on flushing toilets, doing laundry. So.
They also don't have weekly rentals as well that they could sublease it. Is that correct?
No, we don't allow it by our lease.
Let me, how long does a lease last? If I went in there today and got a lease, how long is a lease? A year, 2 years,
According to Delaware law, case law, a lease is perpetual.
One other question, Mr. Class.
Perpetual.
Correct. Yes, sir.
You can't cancel a lease?
No, sir. Not without cause.
Right. Okay. Let's just say the project was sold. You sold the project.
Well, that's different. You're talking about a change of use.
Okay. Change of ownership.
Change of use is the only way. There's two reasons for.
Okay. Let's say you sold it and the people wanted it to sell the lots and change the use.
Okay. That's change of use.
Right. Because. I mean, there's nothing to say that somebody couldn't in the future lift the 55 arrangement, and families could end up, you know, 10 years, 15 years from now, it could be families in there.
I cannot do it.
You can't do it, but I'm just saying if you sold it, but the change of use, so there's nothing to restrict that, right?
File for it, yeah.
And things do change here. That's a trouble. I think the county engineering department has to sometimes build our system to accommodate, you know, the highest use, whatever it may be at the high, you know, peak times and all that stuff. So they've done that, I would guess. So I'm just worried about if, like you say, if you change the somehow the use got changed in the future, which could happen. Okay.
Well, then the use actually will become less in sewer than what it would be now.
Right. Well, I don't know.
Mr. Dukes, if I may, I want to help answer your previous question about the sewer capacity. Capacity in a sewer system, of course, subject to confirmation by the engineering department, I believe is budgeted. That is to say, I believe the county engineering department budgets 111 EDUs for this site, and in terms of the county system, that capacity is gone. They can't give it to somebody else. He might not build a single lot, but that capacity for 111 units in terms of the county's budget is gone. So to say that the county is at capacity, I believe, interpreting what I've heard today, that means that the county can't budget for any more EDUs at this time, not that the county's system operates at its maximum capacity.
Okay.
If that makes sense. And again, that is subject to confirmation by the engineering department.
I think, Dan, we probably need to have the engineering department give us some comments to clarify.
I think I said that, Mr. Cole.
Yeah, no, I agree with
you. One other question, Mr. Class. Why are you in here today? Why do you think you'll be able to lease these if you build them, if you get permission to build them? I mean, you think there's that much demand or need for additional units in that area?
Mr. President, currently right now we have a list that's 4 weeks old, and we have 71 people on the waiting list for the 82 sites. A lot of these people, or some of these people, let me rephrase that, are parents or in-laws of people that live in the surrounding communities. They want their elderly parents or in-laws to be near them but not living with them. We provide a very affordable, attractive solution to this without going to a nursing home or managed care. We see the trend of people. We've had a lot of people in Lewis and Rehoboth actually move into the community, sold the big house. It's too big for them. They're by themselves, or it's a husband and wife that's elderly, and they're there either until the time that they have to go into another facility or unfortunately one of them passes on. We serve a truly valuable asset to the housing community and for Sussex County, so I truly believe that.
Is there some percentage of your waiting list that consists of people in the existing that want to move to the new section?
There's always some. If I recall it, in 71, I believe there's about eight, okay, from one of our communities. We actually get other people from other manufactured communities. In fact, we're getting people that are in single-family dwellings right now. They found that the house is too large for them, and they want to downsize a little bit. Not quite what we expected initially. We thought, you know, people want to go down to a 1,200 square foot, 1,300 square foot, but a majority of homes are still 1,800 square foot. Mm-hmm. They want their, you know, this is their last shot of their last house that they actually own by themselves until, you know, they live with their kids or go into a home. So
okay, thank you.
What's the desired placement per year if it was moved forward after you get your infrastructure?
If we had to do it, we're not certainly greedy about this. We were very particular of what we do because all the garages are built on the site, all the porches and decks built on the site. 82 lots, we're probably looking at anywhere between 40 to 48 months. And that's after we're done. And after we come to an agreement with it, with the county engineering department on sewer capacity, so.
Any other questions, Mr. Class? All right, thank you very much.
I have proposed findings if you'd like me to submit those.
Sure, anything you wish
and
to submit.
And if I may, the approved record plan as well.
Sure.
I have two.
Thank you. Ms. Balliet has handed up proposed findings and conditions. They'll be made part of the record. Is there anyone else here wishes to be recognized in support of this application? Yes, sir. And when you come down, please state your name and address and tell us whether you're one of the people who wrote one of the letters that we read off.
Hi, my name's Tom Fitzgerald. I live at Seaford, Delaware. I'm a lifelong resident of Sussex County. I've worked in Sussex County my entire life and currently working in Sussex County. And I'm familiar with this development. And as we all know, since 2000, things have gone crazy on the eastern side of the county. And this type of housing is the only thing we're ever going to have for older individuals. Good, affordable, clean housing for our senior citizens, and it meets that goal. Most of us can't afford an arm and a leg like maybe some of you can, Mr. Cole.
Don't look at me.
But I'm just laughing because you're from the eastern side.
Got all the money.
Well, the east has it, but most of our senior citizens can't spend $300,000 minimum up for a townhouse or a condo in Rehoboth. Our senior citizens, where they are, nice development. If you want to clean something up, I would say go down on 26 between Ocean View and Millville and try to clean up some of that stuff. But those people can't help it. They own those homes. They can't do much with it. They can't afford anything else. We need it for our people. We've right now just about put young people in Sussex County, no, living with their parents the rest of their life, primarily. They'll never own homes, as expensive as it is.
What is your connection to this application? Do you hope to live there or have a relative that lives there?
I could one day.
Okay.
Where I live right now, is I'm probably going to have to downsize. I'm presently 60 years old, and I would say within the next 10 years I might want to downsize, and that would be ideal.
So you're speaking as an acquaintance of the applicant?
An acquaintance of the development in Sussex County and the Eastern Shore.
Okay.
Over here. And, you know, we've got so much going on that's been approved that I don't know about. I just don't understand where all the people are going to come from. Some of the things have been that I see out in the country right now, some of these developments. But this development right now is full. And the people that are in there are people that we should be proud to have. A lot of the people we have coming in in places I don't think we are so proud of. So that's all I'd like to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I live in Sussex East since May 1992. I am extremely happy.
Did you submit a letter, sir?
No, I did not.
Okay, good.
I'm giving a little speech.
All right.
Just for 2 or 3 minutes.
I got that.
I won't take up much of your time.
Do we have your name?
Carmen Leto. I am a retired teacher and administrator from the Christina School District in Newark, Delaware. I want to thank the council members for giving us the opportunity to speak on behalf of the residents of our communities, Sussex East and Sussex West. A few years back, I spoke to this group, and I had mentioned, I believe in the year 2000, Delaware had a population of 768,000 people. Well, today, folks, as of January 12th, the population of Delaware is 843,500. Consequently, gentlemen, we do need, you've heard this word 22 times, more affordable housing. And that's exactly where we live, the more affordable housing. And Sussex East and Sussex West are well-planned and well-maintained living areas. Steve and Mark Class have a lot to do with that. They are cooperative, fair, and concerned with the welfare of the people that live in their communities. And I've learned a lot in my 15 years here. A few years back, I was a member of the State Commission for Chapter 70. I was a member of that commission until it disbanded. Hello, sir. How are you?
Just great.
Former student. I didn't realize it until just now.
He's come a long way.
Former student, and he was a good one, too. I'll tell you something later.
Did you teach this gentleman how to drive a car?
Now, don't get smart, sir.
Driver's ed teacher.
Anyway, I was a member of that commission until it disbanded. And after 3.5 years of attending those weekly and bi-weekly meetings with the commission, I learned a lot. And I came to the realization that I was living in a community that had the best two owners. Folks, I don't care where you go in Sussex County. Well, I'm really talking about Newcastle County, Kent County, and Sussex County because I'm familiar with all three. And I know many of the park owners, et cetera, et cetera. And these guys, their last name is Class. And they are Class.
That wasn't their real name. They
well, they probably changed it at some point. I don't know. But I had the opportunity to listen and observe at these meetings, and I found out I am so happy to live where I'm living. Also, Steve and Mark will tell you we have the best neighbors, the best people that one could possibly have. Our people are friendly, thoughtful, helpful, and very supportive. We certainly hope the council will consider our wishes. We have room and spaces for more housing. Let's give more people the opportunity to fulfill their dreams. Thank you very much. One more thing. Where we live is a small wonder. Thank you. Do you have any questions for me? Thank you, gentlemen.
Anyone else?
Mr. Leto, good to see you.
afternoon. My name is Katie Thompson. I live in the Oak Orchard area. I'm an active volunteer with the local fire department, and I'm also the community's manager for Colonial East. As both the manufactured community resident and the manager, I get to sit on both sides of the fence. I truly believe that we provide quality and affordable housing to all of our residents. In my five-year tenure with Colonial East, I've seen the demand for affordable housing in this resort area, and I've also had the opportunity to form friendships with the majority of our residents, and I'm very familiar with their concerns. Of the 101 current residents we have in the Sussex West community, 48 households have members that work either part-time or full-time to supplement their income in order to live comfortably. With that said, one of my biggest fears is that if the community ceases to be profitable, the partners will have to consider closing the community, eliminating the affordable housing for our residents. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else? If there's no one else, do you wish to raise your hand if you're in support so we can see how many people are here? Okay, so there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Looks like about 18 to 20 people. Thank you. Anyone else? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in support who feels they've been denied a chance or not given a chance? Thanks. Anyone else, anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Wayne Baker, and I live at 17420 minus Conaway Road. I lived there before Mr. Class proposed his park in 1997. Opposed it then. I'm not really opposed to the park the way it exists now, but what I'm opposed to is the fact that he wants to expand the same use for which he applied for a conditional use in 1997. He applied for 200 and some units. It was over 200 on his 50 some acres of ground, as I recall. And we went through the planning and zoning hearings and came back, and then end of the day, he was granted his approval for 108 units. I don't know where the 111 come from. I think it was 108. But he chose at that point in time to put his 108 units on the roughly 30 acres of ground. I think he did that to spite you all and to spite the neighborhood vicinity, because when he did that, he knew he had 20 acres of unused ground. He knew that in 1997. Today, he comes back and applies for an additional 80 some units on that same 20 acres, of which he applied for 200 some units. The 20 acres was included in that original application. This is a new application. So, is this a new partial? Did he subdivide this partial apart from the original 50? Or is it the same partial? I don't know. I'm not familiar with all the county records.
Same partial.
Same.
The same partial. So is this then, should he then apply for a new conditional use, or should he amend his previous conditional use?
Is there any problems with any of those issues, Mr. River? Same partial.
I think there's precedent for doing it both ways, but Mr. Lank may have some actual knowledge about why this was filed the way it was filed.
It's filed as an expansion of an existing manufactured home community. That's the way it was advertised.
Right.
The park exists, it's still the same track, and they're applying to expand it.
So, but anyhow, he had his shot in 1997, and when he chose to build his approval, he made a conscientious financial decision then that these 108 units is worthwhile the land. He chose to put his 108 units on the approximately 30 acres of the ground. And we, the residents of the neighborhood, said, boy, it's nice. We're going to have it, you know, there's going to be a nice 20-acre open space there because that's the way he chose to develop it. Evidently, when you gave that conditional use, you didn't tell him he had to put the 108 units on the 50 acres. You said he could put it on. You didn't give him any decision, but he chose to put it on the 30 acres. That, to me, he indicated he was getting return on his equity, and everything else was okay with him then. So why does he come back at this point in time and want to put an additional 80 acres on? To me, it just slaps at the community and slaps it in all the county faces.
Would you just say he wants to come back today and put an extra 80 acres on?
He applied for an additional 82 units on this 20 acres of land where he had the opportunity to put the 108 units on this on this 50 acres.
Question, 10 years has gone by, market changes, the way land is development changes, value of land changes. Should a property owner be denied the right to ask for a modification of a previously approved conditional use?
It was my understanding that when he applied for this conditional use, he then turned around and subdivided this as a separate parcel from the other 50.
Okay, but again, the question is...
But then
when
he was given.
10 years go by, should we be locked in time, or can we consider changes in the market, changes in values?
Well, the density.
Can we consider, for instance, the quality of the existing subdivision when back then we really didn't know what we were going to be getting? These are just questions. Should we be able to consider those factors that have changed over 10 years?
You can consider them. I'm not going to say you can't. But the same token, he made a conscientious decision back then to do what he did.
Right.
He even built the roads with interfaith exchanges going back into this back development. And when he built his roads, you know, we who live in the community said, well, he's got future plans. He's going to, and it was little or no surprise to me that he applied for to put additional homes on that 20 acres. But I still feel that at the time his property is stated for the use for which the conditional use was granted. It was granted for 108 units or 11 units, and he bought into it at that point in time. So then does he have the right to come back and change it? I guess that's your decision, not mine. He does run a good neighborhood. I can say that in his defense. We've had little or no problems living on Monas Conway Road, other than Monas Conway Road's gotten extremely busy in the last 5 or 6 years. But that's life.
Wayne, my recollection was, and Dale, I guess the rest of you guys could say I'm telling if I'm wrong, but I recollect that you were the community, other people other than yourself, right, was traffic, the safety, and the character of the neighborhood. Since 1997, what infrastructure improvements have been made to make the place, you know, make the traffic flow better or make it safer or the character of the neighborhood? My recollection, from what Lawrence has said, there's only been one subdivision, Nassau Grove, and since 1997, others have developed similar to the AR1 district, or stayed within the AR1 district, and traffic is had to have increased. Has it gotten any better?
Traffic has gotten considerably worse.
Safety still an issue?
I deal with it every day, so it doesn't bother me anymore. I know it's a problem to get out on Route 9, because you got two-way traffic on 9, it's trouble to make a left turn to go toward Five Points, but I don't usually do that. I go with the traffic. I go out 1, I go south on 1, I come back on 9, and I'm always making right turns and no left turns. It makes my life a lot simpler.
Well, this council supported the opposition in 1997, basically your side of this argument.
Right.
I'm just trying to find out, has anything changed? What is there anything that you can see that, you know, should change our mind, or is anybody here on the council's? Has there been any changes that since 1997 when this issue was up first and we agreed, what has changed? The land use planning is not supposed to be market driven. It's supposed to be planning, and I don't know if we're going to let the marketplace dictate what happens, then there's no need for us to be here. But since we're here and we got a land use plan, what has changed is what I'm trying to find. It's not we're not talking about the marketplace. We all know about the marketplace.
We have a record of quality. Then there was a big question mark, and I wasn't here, but it sounds like from the testimony,
he already
a big
had
question mark as to whether or not the community that he was proposing in 97 was going to be a stain.
He already had Colonial East, and he already had Colonial West.
Yeah, we already had it.
They already had the two mobile home residences there going existing at the time he applied for this new expansion. And he bought Mr. Mike, the fellow's name was Martin's Farm, and that's where he got his clubhouse from, an old house, old farmhouse there. I've lived down there since 1970, so I'm familiar with the neighborhood. There has been no modifications to any of the infrastructure. Minus Conway Road was tar and chip. Now it's got hot mix since they put the sewer line through there.
Are there nice wide shoulders on Minus Conway
Road?
There
are no shoulders. Huh? There are no shoulders.
Still?
Oh, still.
That was one of the big issues that I recall.
And
how about the density of the surrounding area?
I don't think that the density has not increased. I guess Nassau Grove would be the only one, but that was a one of your planned communities, RPCs, where they, but he's got a lot of open space there, and he couldn't do what he wanted to do anyhow because DelDOT wants some of his land for this new
They're gonna west bypass or whatever it's called.
The western bypass. I mean, so I think you were kind of, he had to do something there. I'm a proponent very much of private property owners' rights, and I don't think you should take a person's rights, but Mr. Class has already had his rights to use his land, and he used them in the way he saw fit at the time, including the whole 50 acres. Again, now he comes back and says, well, I still got this 20 acres that I want to do something else with.
Well, it was a prudent business decision based on risk, because this is just my thought. He was probably sacrificing some value by clustering those into those smaller lots. Had he spread that over the entire parcel, maybe he could have gotten more, I don't know. But he made a business decision to cluster those. Maybe it was all preconceived that one day he would come back 10 years later and ask for more. I mean, with Mr. Cole's question as to what has changed and where the market plays, if there is a demand for another 80 units like this, the question I have to ask myself, is it better to put it right next to an existing community
and Deschavac,
or to take it a mile down the road and plop it out in the middle?
And Deschavac should sell his home then, because he lives on 25 acres. I live on 18 acres. Chuck and Elva Davis's live on 20.
That got to do with anything?
Well, we could sell our land and put a mobile home park in too. Same reason.
But from a land use perspective, is it?
It would be better. That way, everybody over 55 would have a place to stay in Eastern Sussex if we all developed our land.
We also got an issue, guys. Don't forget there is a sewer issue. There's no capacity. There is an issue.
Anyhow, the safety is an issue. His storm water in his place overflows into Mills Chase. I don't know what Mills Chase did when they developed their Mills Chase property. But all of his storm water, the overflow goes through Mills Chase, goes on down to Red Mill Pond. And I don't know whether Mills Chase figured into additional runoff as a result of this development, or 80-some acre homes, as part of their design or not. They probably didn't, because they didn't know it was coming at the time they built in their system.
Now, you're saying this pond in the front corner there?
Yes.
Overflows to which direction?
It goes under Minus Conway Road.
It goes over to the corner?
And it used to run right across that field.
So the duplexes are?
Yes. And it used to run back at Dave Shavok's house, back in the Red Mill Pond. And like I said, Mills Chase piped all that in. They filled it, and they ran an additional pipe around the side. So they've got to allow for, if he's going to use that only stormwater management pond, that has to be answered by somebody, not me, because I'm not.
Did Soil Conservation address that, Mark?
No, the comment we got from Soil Conservation was generic comments based on the soils. It wasn't a direct comment and review.
So nobody's looked at that.
But before he can get final site plan approval, it's going to have to be approved.
Right. We have to have an approval from the Conservation District.
That sewer pipe's big enough, or stormwater pond, that's good enough. The entrance, every time I've applied for an entrance for a project, and I want to revisit entrance, DelDOT's always came back and you have to reapply. So he might have applied for his entrance 10 years ago, or I'm sure he did, but that doesn't mean that everything remains the same.
Again, won't that be something DelDOT looks at prior to final?
We have to have DelDOT's approval also to be able to grant approval.
Okay. Don't want to take up a whole bunch of time, that's all I have to say.
Any questions of Mr. Baker?
No, I've looked at this thing, Mr. Baker, and I've read it I read the 1997 minutes, trying to figure out what we said, what was our intent, and I think you were right. I think our intent was 108 units. However, this application, he's asking to come back and to modify that with another 82, which he's permitted to do. I saw nowhere in there we said that would be forever. And I guess, having to agree with Mr. Phillips, if there was a need for that, and of course when he came in, you said he asked for something like 250 units.
I said 218.
Over 200 anyhow. Well, I don't know if he was that much smarter or he knew the market, he knew what he needed, what was coming down in the future. I don't know. But we cut him to 108, so did we make a mistake by doing that? Should we have allowed 200 then? Probably looking back now, we probably should have done. Trying to meet the neighbors' concerns and cutting it back to the density of they are in the community there, that's why we did it. But if we're going to, if there's a need for that many more units, he says he's got 71 families, people now who've signed up. I'd rather see it go into a park where it's well run and kept, and all the people are happy there seem to be, than I would go down the road and start another one, you know. So it's as I look at it, it's an individual call from each individual call of each councilman, whether how they look at it as an expansion or, you know, how we want to vote on it.
But Dale, typically when you say what we've seen in front of us are expansions, are they add additional lands to something existing? Like when they added this was an expansion of the old Colonial East. We haven't seen too many expansions within an approval we had given.
You're right.
My only concern is, and I think it was alluded to, and I don't know who by, but it may set a precedent that opens up, you know, where people start then coming in and getting in some kind of approvals. And I know why developers put things close together. It's cheaper. You bring everything together. It was cheaper for him to do it this way than to spread it out. And then he thought maybe in the future he could do this, and here he is, which is fine.
Well,
you're allowed to do that. But I'm just saying it may set a precedent because most of our expansions are they've added additional lands to an existing use, and we have felt that that's, you know, appropriate, like Gull's Way or something. I remember they had, you know, added additional lands. And so just be careful in the back of your mind. This is a precedent, possibly could be a precedent-setting application.
Being he already owns the land, though, Mr. Cole, this is, if he had to go out and buy another 20 acres in order to do this, he would probably have to raise the rent much higher than what he'd do now. You know, I mean, he already owns the land.
Right.
So that's a...
He's not going to reduce his rent because he already owns the land.
He won't reduce it.
No, he won't reduce it either. He'll go to the market. He'll go back to the marketplace.
He'll go to the current market price. I mean, yeah. I would. So,
but if he had to go out and buy 20 acres, he might have to go higher than the market price.
Then you have to evaluate that and make a business decision based upon those new numbers.
Probably that's why he's asking for 20 acres. His business decision, this is the cheapest way to go and the best way to go for him. It's contiguous to what he's already doing.
I agree. But did he already have the use of that prior?
That's your decision. I don't know, Mr. Baker. It's a tough one.
anyone else here in opposition? Gentlemen, the Planning and Zoning Commission is deferred on this. Could we ask Mr. Lank, is there anything else that would come into the record if the record were not closed today, such as Plus comments or? Plus.
Already in the file.
They're in the file?
I think we don't have from Plus as a response.
Okay.
Response you don't have a response from the applicant?
Or double check before I say that.
What are some of the questions Plus asked?
Anybody saying need to keep the record open?
Well, we haven't received a comment back from Plus as far as response. I don't know if the developer responded to Plus or not. That question was asked at the commission level also.
I mean,
so if you're interested in what Plus has to say, you may want to consider leaving the record open. And
I think in
deferring.
Plus, a major part of the process.
Well, we have a comment from Plus, which was a comment from their review. And that was dated. That was dated February of 22nd of 06.
That's a comment from Plus.
That was the day of the meeting.
As the applicant.
The comments were from Plus. Report was received on March 15th of 06. And we haven't received a copy of the response from the applicant to Plus or a response from Plus to their comments, which is typically just saying we received it and
right. You
don't usually get real. You just respond.
And what was, is there a synopsis on Plus's?
It's about 14 pages of Plus.
What's
which I can make available to council, but I don't have the responses from the applicant. Or the engineer for the applicant.
Because a lot of this could have changed, Steve, is some of this plus, is so long ago, is there potential that there could be some changes from plus and they're going back and forth? Does anybody know? I mean, is there any dramatic changes that we ought to keep the record open?
Mr. Cole, both sides have had their say.
Well, I'm just saying, is there a reason why we should leave this open because of...
Well, I think you should address that to Mr. Lang.
I think we have to wait for comments.
Because if we allow the applicant to start again...
Okay, no, okay. I didn't know if there was any major changes that they're aware of that they've made in all this whole process.
Well, what it comes down to, if you want to see how the applicant responds to plus and how plus responds to the applicant, the only way you're going to do that...
None of us have read plus,
okay,
is what I'm saying.
Then the only way you're going to get that is to leave the record open. If you don't, doesn't matter, then you...
Then I'll make a motion we leave the record open to for plus comments.
And defer?
Pardon?
And defer.
Let's put a time limit on this, because plus could drag the thing on for another year.
No, plus is done. They're waiting for
you to respond to plus and plus respond back.
Right.
And they have so many days to do each step.
Have you read the plus comment?
I just said...
Mr. Cole, or Mr. Dukes?
It's Mr. Dukes now.
Well, we haven't closed the public hearing.
I know, but we've had in order, each person has one shot.
He just shut me up, Dale. Now he just shut you up.
But you can certainly ignore what I'm saying. But
I understand what you're saying, but I don't like the process, because if we're not allowed to ask questions, you know, how are we going to make an intelligent decision?
Well, you're opening the record. We'll have to then call a Mr. Baker.
Okay. All right, let's close it. Get out of here.
I don't have a problem asking Mr. Baker.
Well, you just had a problem with me doing it now.
No, forget it. No, we're closing. Or whatever you want to do with it, let's do it.
Well, the thing I want to do is I want to ask the applicant why they didn't respond.
No, you're not allowed to.
Well, you can if it all
goes. Let's just let the process work itself out, yo.
Huh? You do have a motion on the floor.
And a second for Mr. Rogers.
That way you can talk on that way, right?
You can leave it open forever.
No, you can't. Yeah. No, you're only leaving it open for those few.
We have to leave it open until we get the recommendation of planning and zoning.
We can direct questions about plus, though, in the future. We can raise questions about the plus.
You can. Mr. Lank can call plus and say, do you have the applicant's response? And
it'll close quick.
The question is here is not so much open or close the thing. The question is they would like to ask another question.
We got a motion and a second. Unfortunately, let's just stop the debate.
I got a motion by Mr. Cole, second by Mr. Rogers to leave the hearing open for the applicant to respond to plus and plus respond back to their comments.
And to defer.
And to defer all the same. And everybody understand the motion?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
I'm going to vote no, because I think a simple question and answer from a couple of the folks out there could clear it up to the point that we could close this record. I mean, there may be a simple answer, there may be not. To not even be able to ask the question at this juncture seems to me to be silly.
Well, wait a minute. The deck stack.
You voted. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
My vote is no.
My vote is no. Motion failed.
I make a motion we adjourn.
Did I?
Nope.
Well, you ain't deferred yet. You got to defer something. You got to do another motion.
Mr. President, may I ask the applicant a question? And if somebody wants to also speak, then I don't see any reason why we shouldn't let them.
I don't have a problem calling Mr. Baker back up again if he wants to speak.
We actually addressed that at the Planning Commission hearing.
Gentlemen, the reason we have not yet responded to the plus comments is we intend to wait and see if we receive preliminary plan approval before responding to a 14-page letter, many of which comments are standard cookie cutter, environmental related, have you considered geese, et cetera, et cetera. Some of the comments I'm sure do involve the site plan itself, which indeed would not be appropriate to respond to yet until we knew whether we had a preliminary plan approval from the county, in our opinion.
Is that typical, Mr. Lank, that applicants do not respond to plus until after the preliminary plan
approval? It works both ways. Majority
in this case,
respond.
Because it was a conditional use, that was
kind of
why
a catch
22. We'd like to do that.
Majority respond, and typically it's subdivisions, and they respond to the comments. They give us a report of their response, typically bold print or italics on the same format, so it's one document.
If it were a standard subdivision.
And then we sometimes get a comment from PLUS before they make a decision.
But guys, this is what's unfair about what we're doing now. PLUS isn't here to defend their position, so we can't ask the applicant, you know, should we require them to wait? Because they don't want to wait. It's not in their best interest, but because then we close the hearing, we're not, then we're cut out, Dale, out of the whole process. So that it's a little stacked right now to be asking that question of these people, the wrong people. And Mr. Baker's not qualified to defend plus. So the plus people aren't here to defend why they need to do this or why
that's important. We're not asking Mr. Baker to defend plus. We're asking an explanation why that hadn't been done to this point.
Again, we are required to respond to plus, and again, the intent is that we will.
But we should know that information before. What if there's a bunch of negative comments from plus? Plus covers a number of issues.
Well, then we can take those into consideration when we make our decision. And if you think that those reasons are valid, then you can vote no. And then it would be their, you know, their fault for not responding to
Jim,
them.
Jim, if the record gets closed, what about this plus stuff?
If the record's closed, you can't allow anything else to come in.
This plus stuff that we're talking about?
Well, you have
the responses.
All you have is plus's comments.
And that's all we'll get.
And that's all you'll get.
Well, see, that doesn't seem right, gentlemen.
Well, that's up to you.
Is that the Mr. Lang, is that the
March of 06.
The plus comments you have are on the applicant went up and met with the state. And that's their response to the environmental, every issue that we normally see in the books or wherever. Is that correct?
The plus, as I stated earlier, they met with plus on February 22nd, 06. The plus report is dated March 15th, 06. And that's what the report is of the comments from each of the agencies that participated. And that's normally all of them.
Right.
Including county was there too.
Does plus have a mandatory response time, or is it open-ended?
It's open-ended, or until they get a response and then they respond. Typically, their last letter is just thanking the applicant for responding, and then maybe a few additional comments.
So they sort of leave it to the applicant to decide when and if.
They're just asking them to respond.
Mm-hmm. They could take these comments and roll with it, for lack of better words, or they could rebuttal them if they felt.
It's very seldom. It's usually a one pager that I get back from plus just saying they thanked them for the response and sorry they didn't want to consider these certain things, or thank you for considering the others.
But this covers state strategy, street design, natural resources. Right. It covers
all the agencies.
State planning, division, historic, department, transportation. And that's how we make our decisions based on these. So
that is part of the record.
They haven't gotten any.
President Dukes.
That's a comment.
You always, you're bending so far backwards, you might hurt yourself. So calm down. Calm down.
George, that's their report.
Okay.
And there's a difference here, in my opinion, that this is a conditional use versus a
subdivision.
In the mood
to keep going. I know.
We still have to comply with all the subdivision requirements and agency approvals to move forward. So here, the conditional use is this is conditional to even move forward to the next step.
Mr. Burdett.
Mr. Dukes is one of the principals. I was the one that directed my engineers not to reply to the plus comments at this time. It's my fault. And it's not a fault because, in my opinion, you gentlemen have the power under a conditional use to require certain things be added to this project. I would be foolish and misrepresenting my client to address plus comments, and they think that that is what it is, and then you gentlemen provide other items that you wish addressed to this site plan, and then I have to readdress plus again. We're not trying to avoid anything. If you wish to have something added to this site, I need to be able to make plus aware of that. Now, as I understand the procedures from plus to us and back, we have heard their comments. We have taken them under advisement. We're waiting for your approval and the conditions that you apply that we can then work back to plus and say, this is how we're going to massage this site at both what our client wishes and what the county council wishes. So it was my directive to do that, and I thought it was the better thing to do, and I still do standing here today.
It does make sense because we have the plus comments in front of us. If we have concerns based on those plus comments, we can.
You hadn't even read them.
We can put conditions in. We can put conditions on.
Just had a public hearing, and you had guys hadn't even read them. I haven't read them.
Just part of the record. Okay, thank you.
Unbelievable.
Folks, since you spoke before additional information has come in, normally you would have spoken after this information. Is there anybody who wishes to address the additional information that came in?
All right.
If though. So.
I try to keep my mouth shut.
You try.
But you guys opened the question up, and Mr. Class is not going to get up and say it. Oh, by the way, my name is Herb McNew. I live in Sussex West. Been there for a year. I really like it there. Looked around. I'm a retired engineer, by the way. So I didn't go into things willy-nilly. This is the best place around for me to retire, and I wanted to retire there. One of the things I don't like about Delaware in a manufacturing home is just what Mr. Class said. He said, you can't change anything. I can't go in and break somebody's lease, but there can be a land use change. When I bought my place, they put it in on a trailer, wheels, put it together, and I had it put on a permanent foundation with a garage attached. That place ain't going nowhere, no matter what happens. If he decides that he wants to change the land use, someone comes in and says, Mr. Class, got all that land sitting over there, you got those houses on it, I'm going to give you $25 million because I want to put in a shopping center. And you say that would be great for that area. Get those people out of there. He can do that. Okay? So when you make your decision, whatever you decide, just remember one thing. There's 108 houses over there. Okay? He ain't going to get up and tell you that. But I know he's sitting over there, and he can think it. And I don't know what he's going to be thinking 2 years from now. So, as long as I know you're aware of it and you're thinking about it, because I ain't going nowhere. Okay? Thank you.
Anyone else? Baker?
I move we close the record and the public hearing.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Phillips, second Mr. Jones, to close the record and the public hearing, defer action on it till planning zoning makes a decision.
Was I'm sorry, but I didn't. Was deferral part of the motion? Because I didn't hear that.
Okay. Yes, I defer.
Sorry.
Questions on the motion? Phil, you understood? Mr. Cole?
I'll go yes, since the other one failed. I mean, let's keep moving.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried.
Make motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion. Motion second to adjourn. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, so carried.